Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Happy Super Bowl week, everybody! It's finally here!
Absolutely.
Finally here! And I feel like this Super Bowl is riddled with so many storylines. You know, we've got the Travis Kelce brothers. The Kelce brothers, Jason and Travis Kelce. This is the first time that brothers are going head-to-head in the Super Bowl. It's like a few years ago, the 49ers and Ravens Super Bowl with the Harbaugh brothers, you know, going head-to-head as head coaches. And I know that everyone's having a lot of fun with that. But there's also the Andy Reid side of things. Of course, Andy Reid, head coach in Philadelphia. He gets fired in Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City, of course, wins a Super Bowl in 2019 with the Chiefs, and now Andy Reid taking on his former team with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I feel like this is almost like a rivalry, so to speak, quote-unquote rivalry, that doesn't get talked about as much as this one, but I think could have as much juice as Brady and Belichick. That has been the biggest story in the NFL. Of course, the postseason story within the NFL is Brady versus Belichick. What was the dynasty in New England? Who do you give credit to? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? And then Brady goes on to Tampa Bay, wins a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, and now Brady's winning that rivalry. Mm. Brady has, at least now where it stands, Brady's won a Super Bowl, and Belichick has struggled to get back into the conversation, to get back into the dance ever since then. So the Brady versus Belichick, I think feud isn't the right word to say, but rivalry is still going on, even though Brady is retired. Because once Belichick wins that Super Bowl, if he does win a Super Bowl without Brady, then we're right back into it. You know, was Belichick really the pilot behind those Super Bowls? But I think that we could almost see a budding rivalry like that start to begin between Andy Reid and the Philadelphia Eagles. Because Andy Reid's won a Super Bowl outside of Philadelphia. And if he beats Philadelphia in the Super Bowl and he wins this Super Bowl on Sunday, then that's like the Andy Reid middle finger to Philadelphia. You fired me, you didn't believe in me, and then I'll come back and kind of bite you in the butt. I think that's an interesting storyline here, beyond just the, you know, Andy Reid coaching against his old team, of this almost Andy Reid feeling like he has something to prove against a former team.
Yeah, because, you know, as we sit, I think Philly sort of had the upper hand. Because I'm trying to think, did they win their Super Bowl before Kansas City won theirs? I think they won with Doug Peterson before Andy Reid ended up winning his. So Philadelphia, even though, I mean, they love Andy Reid in Philly. You know, but the knock was he couldn't win. He couldn't win the big game, which was the Super Bowl. And he had been there a few times, or he couldn't get past the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Then he ends up getting past the NFC Championship game, but then gets the Super Bowl and can't win it. And then Doug Peterson comes in, and they end up winning the Super Bowl a few years later. So it was a little bit, you know, in favor of Philly because of that. But obviously, you know, Kansas City wins the Super Bowl under Andy Reid. Now that weight is off of him as far as, you know, him not being able to win the big games. Now he's up into that rare era of great coaches because you won Super Bowl now. Also with what you have done previously to that. But this right here, I think it's the winner take all sort of thing, you know, because Philly has a Super Bowl, Kansas City has a Super Bowl. Now we're going to duel it out, you know, Andy versus his old team. You know, and if Andy can win it, then, you know, it goes, you know, a little bit goes toward Andy. But this can be a budding rivalry, depending on, you know, what these two teams do after this season that's concluded with the Super Bowl. Then how do they look moving forward? But we expect Kansas City to look good, because they always going to have, at least for the next 10 years, barring injury, they're going to have Mahomes. Philly, they will have good players, but they won't have those same players in the next 10 years. Jalen Hurts may be there. We don't know. If he continues to bud into this terrific quarterback that we see him becoming, and he gets into that, you know, is he elite or is he great category, then this can be a back and forth thing between, you know, Kansas City and Philadelphia. But here's the deal. I mean, both conferences are getting better. You know, so it's going to be it's going to continue to be a fight for Philadelphia to get to the Super Bowl after the season. It's going to continue to be a fight for the Kansas City Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. But I think these two teams, the way they're constructed, at least for the next 3 or 4 years, they should be in a position to potentially face one another in the Super Bowl.
And I think another thing, too, you know, speaking of Andy Reid and the success that he's had in Kansas City, and if we're going to talk about the, you know, Belichick versus Brady rivalry, how that could almost mimic, or maybe there's a budding rivalry between Andy Reid and the Philadelphia Eagles, considering their history, we also have to look at what's budding in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Is there an Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes dynasty that's starting to reflect what Belichick and Brady did in New England? And I know that the Chiefs are so far removed from what Belichick and Brady did. They won 6 Super Bowls mm-hmm. together. But if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they have been in the Super Bowl 3 of the last 4 years. They won it in 19. They lost to Brady and the Bucks in 20. Mm-hmm. And then last year, of course, Kansas City loses to Cincinnati in the AFC Championship. And they're right back in the Super Bowl in 2022. I mean, that is insane. Mm-hmm. To think about, considering the gauntlet that any team in the AFC has to get through to get to the AFC Championship, mm-hmm. to get to the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs have been there 3 out of the last 4 years. I know to compare the success, anyone's success, to Belichick and Brady almost seems ridiculous, mm-hmm. considering how much success those two had and how dominant the Patriots truly were for so long in the AFC, in the NFL. But I think you're starting to see the roots of that start to grow. Mm-hmm. Because now it's not a coincidence anymore mm-hmm. that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl conversation. Now they've been there. Mm-hmm. It's been enough years. It's been 3 out of the last 4 years. That's a budding dynasty to me.
Yeah, it is. Here's sort of the difference, I think, and it's not taking anything away from New England in their championships, because they had some – you know, they had some really good teams, and then some teams that were not as good, but the way they played together and they had Tom Brady sort of put them over the hump. And when they got into close games, they can always lean on the veterans on that team, the experience they had, along with this quarterback that's becoming, you know, one of the greatest to ever throw a football. So they can always lean on that, because every year they went to the Super Bowl, they didn't always have the best team. They had a good team, but it wasn't always the best team. But what they did have was the experience and the quarterback mm-hmm. That they always leaned on. And then when you look at when New England was going, when they were just ripping through the AFC, it was Peyton Manning, it was Ben Roethlisberger. After a while, it's Ben Roethlisberger, and it was Tom Brady. That was it. As far as elite quarterbacks, Hall of Fame guys. Now, Phillip Rivers was in there as well, but it was no one really. Phillip Rivers is sort of like who the Chargers quarterback is now.
Herbert.
He's sort of like it's Herbert.
Bottom of
exactly.
The
absolutely. And he can. But can he win you that big game? Mm-hmm. And Phillip Rivers, for whatever reason, and some of it wasn't his fault, they could never get over that hump. Well, now, fast forward, where you only had 3 elite quarterbacks, like elite quarterbacks that are going to be in the Hall of Fame, you had 3 of them that were playing in their prime, Manning, Roethlisberger, and Brady. So those were the guys. Mm-hmm. Well, you look at it now, you got Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, you got Herbert.
Joe Burrow.
You got Burrow.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. You got Trevor Lawrence. So you got these quarterbacks that some are elite, but some you can see by the way that they've played, they are able to reach that status as well. So the gauntlet is going to be a little bit tougher. And then just imagine who, you know, Indianapolis and Houston get. And if those quarterbacks turn out to be the guy. Now you got Patrick Mahomes has seven quarterbacks he has to potentially go through at any given year to get to the Super Bowl. Like, elite guys.
It's only going to get more difficult.
Yeah, it's getting more and more difficult.
And if you want to get to the caliber or even, you know, continue this comparison between Belichick and Brady, that's the gauntlet that you have to go through. And it's not going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
But and considering how I don't want to say easy because it's the NFL and nothing in the NFL is easy. But the AFC East, when Brady and Belichick were going through, it was Buffalo and Miami. Mm-hmm. Those weren't very good teams.
No.
But they still had the Peyton Mannings. They still had the Ben Roethlisbergers. They still had the Philip Rivers, to your point. It wasn't easy either. And that's what was so fun, the Brady-Manning rivalry that when they went back and forth. So they had their fair share of gauntlets as well, but that's what made them so great. Was it the path wasn't always easy. Mm-hmm. Some years easier than others, but the path wasn't always easy. I mean, that AFC Championship game wasn't an easy one for the Chiefs to win to get past Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. You know, getting past Josh Allen in the AFC isn't going to be easy. That's a stacked Buffalo team. But that's why Patrick Mahomes won MVP last night, because they were able to get through that gauntlet carried so much so by Patrick Mahomes. And I have a thought on that. Mm-hmm. I have a Patrick Mahomes thought, because I feel like every year, basically, there's a new blueprint that's written to winning a championship that every team wants to follow. You want to mimic that kind of success. So is there a blueprint that's being written for Patrick Mahomes? We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I don't believe either team would be here without said quarterback, but there's no question in my mind Patrick Mahomes is more better. It's better, not more better. It's better, it's more valuable than Jalen Hurts. And that's not to take anything away from Jalen Hurts, because I think he's turned himself, as you mentioned, Jen, into an MVP candidate. But Patrick Mahomes, Skip, I mean, what he's able to do and what he's asked to do with less. Now, you look at what they gave Jalen Hurts. They gave him more. They extracted from Patrick Mahomes Tyreek Hill. And he still went out and had an MVP season. You say, well, he has Travis Kelce. Yeah, he threw 1,400 yards to Travis Kelce, but he threw another 3,700 to guys like Juju, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Sky Moore, and guys of that nature. And you're like, how? And he said, I'm not going to change. It's just going to look a lot different. And he's still Patrick Mahomes. There's no question in my mind, Skip. He's the best player in the league.
There you go. That was Shannon Sharp ahead of the NFL honors last night. Of course, Patrick Mahomes taking away the MVP award last night. And I was talking about this with you and Willie yesterday. Mm-hmm. I said I had a dilemma. I didn't know who was a better candidate for MVP, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes. Because I think you take either of those quarterbacks away from those teams, those are completely different teams. But I ultimately settled on Patrick Mahomes because, like Shannon Sharp said, he's doing more with less.
Mm-hmm.
He trade away his top receiver in Tyreek Hill, and he still gets your team to the Super Bowl. You know, he's out of the divisional round of the playoffs with a high ankle sprain. He comes back in the AFC Championship, and he's able to do it with a bum ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to that was an MVP performance. And I think Patrick Mahomes very much so deserved MVP. Did you feel any differently?
No, I thought, cause, I mean, say yesterday, I thought it was going to be between Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. And both, you had an argument for both guys. Either way, if Jalen Hurts would have been named MVP or even Joe Burrow, I don't think anybody, I mean, yeah, there would have been this back and forth banter, but I think at the end of the day, you can't be upset.
All those guys.
Yeah, it's like those three guys, like, you just pick one.
Uh-huh.
And each one of them were important to their team's success this season. I think what Shannon said to a degree, the only thing that I sort of not necessarily disagree with, but I would like to look at it from a different vantage. From this direction.
Yeah.
Because 2 years ago, well, not last season, was the last? Yeah, Cooper Kupp, the Triple Crown, what he was able to do.
Yeah.
I thought that last year, that Cooper Kupp was the best player in the National Football League because of what he was able to accomplish. Now, you could say it had to do with, you know, McVay's offense, this and that, whatever.
You
may have an argument to that. But
I think
last year,
point.
He proved with the numbers and everything else, that he was the best player in football that year. I think this year is sort of the same. Is Patrick Mahomes the best player? Like if you put together the last 3 or 4 years and you put them all together and then you look over and say, okay, who's the best player? Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes would more than likely be that guy.
Yeah.
But I think this year, I think Jefferson was the best player. The most important player was Patrick Mahomes, yeah, obviously, or Joe Burrow, or Jalen Hurts. But I think Jefferson was the best player from this standpoint, and it goes right along with the Cooper Kupp argument too, is that everybody in the building know who I want to get the ball to. Mm-hmm. We're going to double team him. We're going to try to scheme him out. We're going to try to do whatever we can to take this individual out of the game. And what happened in both instances?
He can't be taken out.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp couldn't be taken out last year no matter what you did. And Jefferson this season, no matter what you did, you could not take him out of the game. He always managed to make plays when it was double coverage, triple coverage, when the defense was trying to completely, he managed to make plays. So to me, Mahomes, Hurts, Burrow, they're the most important players.
Because they're quarterbacks.
Because they're quarterbacks. But I think this year, and it's only this year alone, because next year it might be different. Just like Cooper Kupp was the best player, I thought, last year. I think Jefferson was the best player this year. Not the most important player. I just thought he was the best player. So if the award would have went to him, the MVP award, you know, okay, I wouldn't mind, mm-hmm, if Jefferson had gotten it. But if Cooper Kupp didn't get it, I didn't expect Jefferson to get it this year.
And I think that there is a reason why Justin Jefferson was the only non-quarterback finalist,
exactly,
for an MVP, mm-hmm, is because that's how important he is.
Exactly.
And look, I'll never argue with you with that. Justin Jefferson is my favorite player in the NFL.
He's an LSU guy.
Oh, he's my favorite player in the NFL. I love Justin Jefferson. I love his story. I love how he got here. He was a 2-star recruit out of high school and nobody wanted him. Then he's now the offensive rookie of the year and an MVP finalist. I mean, his story is so impressive. But I would agree with you. I mean, look at the Vikings, mm-hmm, and where they were and where they are. And Justin Jefferson is almost unignorable, mm-hmm, on that team. And a team that really, you know, isn't flashy. Mm-hmm. And a team that really could be so easy to ignore. A team that could be so easy to just, like, write off as it's the Vikings. It's Kirk Cousins.
Well, people try to. It's Kirk Cousins.
And you can't. Mm-mm. You cannot. And actually, Nick, I'm sorry to surprise you, but if we have that Pac-Man Jones from yesterday, if we can play that, his thoughts on Tannehill, because I think that Pac-Man Jones made a point that a lot of people feel the same way about it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Justin Jefferson can make a team that is so not flashy, a team that is so easy to write off, a team that has the quarterback who is the poster child for, you know, middle of the pack, for average, for mediocrity, and he single-handedly can elevate that team. If we have that, this is Pac-Man Jones.
Pac, what do you think about the Titans now when you look at them?
Titans just a team. They got a really great running back. Tannehill is a Andy Dalton. He can't beat you with his arm.
What do you think about Tannehill when you played against him?
I've never really liked. He couldn't beat us.
Mm-hmm.
He got one. He used to could throw the deep ball pretty decent, but like comeback digs, I don't think he has. He's not elite, but he's not trash.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that class of the BC,
mm-hmm,
the Baker Mayfields,
Derek Carr,
the Derek Carrs,
Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Kirk can throw the ball everywhere. He just don't have no nut.
Hey, man, get off my Spartan Dogs. Come on, man. I got to defend my Spartan Dogs after a while, okay?
highly recommend you give Pac-Man Jones an interview from Stillman & Company yesterday. But, yes, to that point, that's how everyone views Kirk Cousins, that he doesn't have the cojones. But Justin Jefferson just elevates that team. And I think the point that I wanted to make with Patrick Mahomes is that I feel like every single year, there's a new team that either adds to a blueprint or rewrites the blueprint, mm-hmm, to a championship. I think last year, you saw the Rams rewrite the blueprint to winning a Super Bowl. It's building around a quarterback and going all in on getting that quarterback if you think that's your guy. Mm-hmm. Because we saw the Denver Broncos try to do the exact same thing. The Rams go all in for Matthew Stafford, and it pays off. You know, they got a Lombardi. So the Denver looks at it and says, okay, if that's what the Rams did, it's a copycat league. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that too. We'll go all in for Russell Wilson. And obviously it didn't work out for Denver because Denver didn't give the quarterback the right pieces like the Rams did. But we saw the Rams write that blueprint. The blueprint for so long has been be bad enough to pick a quarterback at the top of the draft. And if that guy becomes elite, then your team will become elite. We've seen that with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. They were bad enough and lucky enough to be picking number one overall in a draft in which Joe Burrow was in. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it happen with a lot of teams. They try to go after that elite quarterback, and it doesn't work. You know, we saw it with the Browns and Baker Mayfield. Go back even further, and Sam Bradford and the St. Louis Rams. They were so bad, they picked at the top of the draft. They got the guy that they thought was going to be their future guy, and it didn't work out. You go as the quarterback goes, mm-hmm. as far as you pick him in the draft. So that's been the blueprint for so long. But I think what separates some of the elite quarterbacks apart is the fact that there is no blueprint. I think that Tom Brady is one of those quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That you don't just have a blueprint for a Tom Brady. You either have a Tom Brady or you don't. And there are so few teams mm-hmm. that can mimic, or so few quarterbacks. There are no quarterbacks that can mimic that success. You either have Tom Brady or you don't. Peyton Manning was the same way. You either have Tom Brady or you don't. And I think Patrick Mahomes is starting to follow suit. The success that we saw from Patrick Mahomes. That if he wins on Sunday, that he's going to start to follow those quarterbacks that just kind of break the blueprint of you either have this guy or you don't. And the Chiefs, if Patrick Mahomes wins on Sunday, the Chiefs will be able to say, we just have one of those guys and you can't mimic this kind of success. You can't copycat this kind of success because this is just our kind of guy.
Well, it also tells you that, and this is what, you know, I'm going to continue to scream about the Titans, and we can get into it after. You know, on the other side. But if you got an opportunity to get your quarterback, get him. If you have him ranked that high, you got an opportunity to get him, get him. Because the Kansas City Chiefs moved up because they felt everybody was so on board with Patrick Mahomes that they moved up in the draft. After having a really good season, moved up in the draft to get him.
Some random quarterback from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
In a draft where everybody was selling out to try to get Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it works. Yeah. But sometimes you're the Bears with Mitch Trubisky. Sometimes you're the Browns with Baker Mayfield. But I think that we're starting to see that sometimes the blueprint's just broken. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys that are set apart as being different. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts as well, your Super Bowl thoughts, and continue our Super Bowl thoughts as well. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I do think we do have the two best teams. I think the 49ers probably, you know, would make the argument that they have a pretty good football team too. But look, if you don't have a quarterback, then obviously, you know, it's hard to say that you've got one of the best teams in the NFL. And I think when you look at the year Jalen Hurts had, you look at how good they are on the offensive and defensive line in Philadelphia, you can easily make a case that they're, you know, they should be at the top. And then obviously the job that Andy Reid has done, the success that they've had in Kansas City, and then obviously having one of the best players, if not the best player in football, as their quarterback, I think we actually are set up to have what probably ends up being a pretty good game. And the reason I say that is, look, Philadelphia can dominate you, but even if Kansas City finds themselves down 20 points, I just think that they are creative enough, they're talented enough offensively to, you know, be able to make a run and come back. And so I don't think the game will ever end up getting sideways.
There you go. That was Tim Hasselbeck on our show earlier this week. And I agree. I think a lot of the football world agrees, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got the two best teams in the NFL in the Super Bowl. And you can make the argument the Bengals or the 49ers. But I would say that those two teams very obviously proved in the AFC Championship that we've got the two best teams in the NFL played on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know, both teams have really good quarterbacks to great quarterbacks. And I'm saying great to Patrick Mahomes. And I think Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback, or he has been this season. And I don't expect anything to change. And then, you know, defensively, I think both have really good defense, but they do it differently. you know, Philly does it one way and Kansas City does it another way. And for those that, you know, that are looking at this game and saying, well, Kansas City, yeah, Kansas City hadn't had to have, you know, they haven't faced a team like Philadelphia. So they're, you know, no, Cincinnati was Philadelphia.
I can make that same argument about Philadelphia.
Exactly, but
who if they played, the Giants?
What I'm saying is Kansas City played the Cincinnati Bengals, who has three receivers and a tight end and a running back and an offensive line that's good. May not be to the caliber of Philadelphia's, but their offensive line is good, and their defense is a opportunistic defense. They can't get to the quarterback. They can make plays in the back end. So this notion of, well, Kansas City really hadn't played a team like Philadelphia, well, they hadn't played a team like Philadelphia from the standpoint of the names, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they played high. They just got finished playing a high-powered offense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would make more of an argument that Philadelphia hasn't seen a team like Kansas City.
Exactly.
More so than Kansas City hasn't seen a team like Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way toward mm-hmm. Philadelphia. They've had an easier path to the Super Bowl than Kansas City has. They both got the byes, and those are important. But, I mean, just look at the difference between the AFC and NFC championships.
They haven't had to play an elite quarterback.
Correct.
Yet.
Yes.
They played the Giants. Daniel Jones is not an elite quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not an elite quarterback. And that team had deficiencies, the Giants. He plays against San Francisco. Well, San Francisco's quarterback went down, even though he's not elite, but he was playing damn good. Yeah. So their quarterback goes down, and then the backup quarterback goes down.
Christian McCaffrey's playing quarterback.
So you were playing a team that basically, you know, was playing without a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what you went. And hey, listen, it's not Philadelphia. Well, I guess it is Philadelphia for because they didn't want to put them out.
They literally did do it.
Exactly. But from the sense of, hey, listen, Philly did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
But you can't, I don't think you can go in and say, well, listen, Kansas City hadn't faced a team like Philadelphia. Well, yes, they have, but Philadelphia hasn't faced a team like Kansas City with that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't faced that quarterback or that type of quarterback in this year's playoff tournament rounds.
They haven't seen a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, they haven't seen a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Now, Kansas City has played against a elite quarterback, mm-hmm. and they were able to win. Philly hadn't, but I'm not going to use that against Philly and say they're going to lose.
No.
No, but if you want to say, well, Kansas City hadn't played a team like Philadelphia, well, you got to be honest on the other side and say Philly hadn't seen a team like this in the playoffs with this type of quarterback.
So let's break it down. Which team do you think has the advantage? Let's start with quarterback. Which team do you think has the advantage?
Obviously, KC has the advantage at quarterback, yes.
I think that's the easiest one mm-hmm. to answer, identify here, is that Kansas City has the better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kansas City would have the better quarterback no matter who they play in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Patrick Mahomes, the only other quarterback that I think you can make the argument that is better is Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers. That would be the only quarterback in the NFC that I could say, okay, maybe that's the advantage.
It's probably a wash in a sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Overwhelming advantage, I would say, Kansas City. Offense around the quarterback, who do you think has the advantage?
I think Philly. Philly does.
I would agree with you there as well.
You know, obviously, I mean, if you just call out the names, I mean, you can call out a name at every position,
mm-hmm.
Skill position at least, and they got playmakers, mm-hmm. whether – off, I mean, wide receiver, tight end, and running back.
Yeah, look at the offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line is a good offensive line.
Kansas City is a fine offensive line. I think Orlando Brown's probably going to be the hottest tackle on the market in this offseason. But, I mean, Philly's offensive line is the best in the league.
Yeah.
So I would agree with you there. I think around the quarterback, Philadelphia is better offensively. Who do you think has better defense?
Ooh, again, I think they do it differently. But, I mean, what Spags has been able to do with that defense in Kansas City, you know, they've gotten – because there was questions about this defense. Two young corners on his defense. You got a defensive line that's good. You know, will Jones be that player that we think he can be? Well – they have done, under Spags, they have done a really good job, especially in the tournament. They've done a really good job at making plays when they need to make plays, getting to the passer when they need to get to the passer. Jones has been basically unstoppable up the middle for Kansas City.
He is so good.
Yeah, so, and they've been playing good on the back end with those young corners. But, I mean, I think as a whole, if you look at Philadelphia, you know, I think the scale would tip a little bit toward, a little bit more toward Philadelphia. They got, what, 70 sacks for the season?
They lead the NFL in sacks. But I didn't realize this. I just pulled it up. Do you know who has the second most sacks this season?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Yeah.
So both of them get to the quarterback.
But. So
the gap is.
The gap is monumental.
Yeah, the gap.
I don't think that's the right word that I just used. That's not the right word that I just used. The gap is huge. Mm-hmm. The Eagles had 70 sacks on the year. The Chiefs have 55. Still a whole heck of a lot of sacks, but that gap is huge.
Yeah.
I'm with you. These are two good defenses. These are two defenses that can get to the quarterback, but Philadelphia just does it better. Philadelphia just is so much cleaner. Philadelphia's defense, I just feel like wherever whoever has the ball is, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the receiver, whoever it is, Philly's defense is there. I just think they're so smooth. So I'll give the nod to Philly there. Coach, who do you think has the advantage on the sideline?
Andy. Yeah. Andy has the advantage in there. Hands down, Andy has the advantage in that area. Not to say that Sirianni isn't a good coach. I'm not going to buy into what people are saying. He just basically just, it's like in basketball, just roll out the ball because you got LeBron, you got this guy, you got that guy, and they're all on your team. Just roll the basketball out and let him play. No, you could have said that with Kobe and Shaq, but it took Phil to come in and really coach them and make them understand that the only way we're going to win is if we do it together, regardless of how great y'all are. So I look at Sirianni. He's a good coach because ultimately, even with all these really good players, you still have to keep it all together as a head coach. But my nod, it's not even a nod. I mean, all my chips is over toward Andy.
Andy by 90.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's so obvious. So I would say in the four areas of the game that are most important and most impactful, quarterback, coach, offense, defense, Kansas City has the nod for quarterback and coach, and Philadelphia has the better overall team offensively and defensively. I think that just goes to show how evenly matched these two teams are.
Yeah, if you look at it, I think they put a stat up there when I think it was like the records were identical, the amount of points they scored was identical, and something else was identical with these two teams as far as from a offensive standpoint. So it looks like a very evenly matched game, and it looks like we will have a really good game, but that really good game could be a 14-17, 21-20 game.
Defensive
exactly,
battle.
Absolutely. So be prepared for that.
Oh, I don't know if I can do it. But we will pick the game. We'll give our official predictions, our scores, and player props as well coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, if you're a Preds fan and you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 1025-1063 the game, and you can win with Superbook. It's Super Bowl week! Let's get into some prop bets and our official picks for the game. But hey, I want to remind you that later today, you can tune in for Stillman & Company live from Radio Row in Arizona, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Nick, take it away. The big game.
All right. So we have some player props to start in, and I may have decided to make up a few on my own. I know Chase had some funner ones this morning, if that's a word. But the race to 25 points, and I know that the Eagles are a minus 125 and the Chiefs are a plus 105 in this category. Who's the first to 25?
Ooh. Ooh, man.
I'll go with Kansas City.
First to 25. I'm going to go with KC, too.
Really, I wish I had more rationale behind that.
Right.
I just go with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, Derek, you just said last segment that you don't think it's going to be, what, 17 to 14?
I said, what if? I said, what if it turns into a game of 17 and 14?
Sure. Are there odds for neither team to get to 25?
I did not see that one. But that would be an interesting one nonetheless.
I think it'll be higher scoring. I mean, I think each team's going to get more than 25.
I think so, too.
Good enough offenses.
All right, so Jalen Hurts. Over or under 247 passing yards?
I think 247.
Right.
Man.
I think it's going to have to be over.
Yeah.
I don't know if Philadelphia is going to be able to under. Win this game if they don't. If Jalen Hurts doesn't throw for more than 250 yards. You say under?
I say under. I think Sirianni, I think they're going to try to, because this is what they've done throughout the whole playoffs. They have not forced anything. They've let the game come to them, which meant we're running the football because they're taking away, you know, what we're able to do in the pass game. So I think it's going to be under. I don't think it's going to be like under 200, but I think it'd be under the 247.
Okay. Okay. I think that's fair.
That's an interesting number, too. 247.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty low. So I do wonder.
If he said 250, that'd be high, right? It's sort of. I get what you're saying, like the 247, you look at it and like, that could be too low, huh?
I
think that's a good number, though, because it puts you in a dilemma where you got to pick. It's like.
It's 250. Yeah. It's going to be 250 or not, basically, is what it's saying.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to be like, okay, I think he's going to get 250.
I say over.
Okay. I'm going to stick with what Derek said. I'm going to say under on that one. I think that's a number that's too high for Jalen Hurts personally. All right. Let's go to our main man, A.J. Brown, for a second. Does A.J. Brown have over or under 5.5 receptions in the Super Bowl?
I think he has over, but not a lot of yards. The weird part about this is that I don't think he has over 5 catches in any one of the playoff games. He may have had 5.
He had 4 catches against San Francisco, 3 against the Giants, 8 targets against San Francisco, 6 against the Giants.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, he hadn't been able to get going. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, I think he would have 5 at least, but not a lot of yards, you know.
I'm going to go under. I think I'm going to go under. I think Kansas City is going to look at it and say, we're going to take him away. And if you beat us with Devontae Smith, or if you beat us, you know, dinking and dunking or running the football, then fine. I don't think you see a huge day from A.J. Brown. And I say that only because he hasn't had a big day throughout all the playoffs.
Right. He's not been consistent enough in that regard, for sure.
It would be such an A.J. thing.
To have a big game.
Pretty dormant throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, 12 receptions for 170 yards.
Like a crazy day.
But I'll go under.
Okay. Fair enough. Patrick Mahomes now. We'll go to the other gunslinger. Will he have over or under 38.5 passing attempts?
Ooh, wow.
That number feels perfect.
Yes. I think it's under. I think he's around a 30, 35.
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the interesting thing here, too, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming back. He's been on IR. He hasn't played in like 7 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So are they going to feed him the ball? Are they going to want to commit to the run game? Or are they going to kind of ease Clyde Edwards-Helaire into it and not rely on the run game a lot? But I think Kansas City finds their most success when Patrick Mahomes throws the ball a lot. I will go over, like, just barely.
And that's what I'm thinking, too, because they may start running the ball with him first to see how he feels against them.
Right.
Because that pass rush is pretty crazy. So if they're able to get the run game going, that might be good, but maybe bad as well. But let's move along here to our other player prop. So I know that one thing that I know Chase talked about this morning was, will we take heads or tails at the kickoff?
I'm going heads.
I'm going tails never fails.
Tails never fails, Chris Sanders.
Let's go with tails.
I'm going with heads.
Okay, fair enough. So we're going to go ahead. I didn't prepare any more player props unless you guys have another one. Those were my creative ones. However, I know this is a close one in the books. The Eagles are favored by 1.5. Who do you guys have?
I'm taking the Eagles to win. I think that the Eagles are just such a complete team. I think that they are so good on both sides of the football. And I also look at Philadelphia coming into this game so fresh. You know, I think that the week off, the extra week, will really help the Chiefs. They've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back. I'm sure that, you know, Patrick Mahomes with another week on being able to rest that ankle. But I still think the Chiefs are a little bit battered. You know, that receiving core is battered going into this game. They're not going to be 100%. The Eagles are so well rested. They're going to be so fresh coming into this game. And if it really is a game of inches, that might just be what pushes Philadelphia over.
Right.
So I'm going to take the Eagles against the
Chiefs. I'm going to throw this at you, too. And Derek, I don't know if you saw this either, but the Chiefs were kind of struggling with staying healthy this year, or this week, with being sick. Mm. Like, some guys were feverish and something was going around. So something to think about here going into Sunday's game.
Well, I am I'm going with Kansas City. You know, with the points, without the points, I think they win, you know, by more than 1.5 or whatever it is. So I'm going with Kansas City for this reason. Caroline, you're right. I think Philly has the most complete team. But I think Kansas City is not too far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do have, it may trump the, because they're not that far behind, the quarterback that they do have sort of equalizes it a little bit more.
And the coach.
Yeah, and the coach. And then from this standpoint, I know we talk about, you know, Kansas City pass catchers or lack of pass catchers this year, but Mahomes, even with these guys that he has, he won MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think he won MVP.
Exactly.
You trade away Tyreek Hill, that's fine. Add Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, mm-hmm. and he can still look how he does. That's what makes
exactly.
him so great.
So I get. We should have said, okay, before we leave, MVP.
Ooh.
MVP. If you're picking Jaylen Philly,
Hurts.
You got Jaylen. I am picking Travis Kelce, MVP.
Ooh.
Derek, that was mine.
Yes.
You jabronis.
Oh,
I'm picking Travis Kelce.
Well, everyone, enjoy the Super Bowl. Have a fun and safe weekend. We'll be back Monday at 11 a.m. with all of our Super Bowl takes. Stillman & Company is up next.
Peace.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.